Wake up, wake up. It's a Friday. Let's go. We got NFL playoffs to talk about. We've got the Niners offseason to talk about. We've got Damon's national championship Hoosiers to talk about. We got a lot to get to. Let's go.
Oh, welcome, welcome. It is great to have you here for Wake Up. I'm Damon, he's Larry, and this is the off-season. Kruger, I tell you what, I think there's a lot of people who do a really good job covering the 49ers in season. I don't think there's anybody who does a better job with off-season stuff than you and I. Wake Up is here to stay. We will be with you twice a week throughout the entire off-season as well. And I actually, Larry, let's be honest. This is your favorite part of the season. You're such a draft nerd. You are such a general manager mindset. I think you like this time of year almost more than you actually do the regular season. I swear to God.
Well, you know, it's funny. I do enjoy the games more, but you know what? This is a close second. And I do find, you know, this is where we're going to start today, because I do find it really interesting, and I understand, you know, it's funny. I brought this up the other day. JD on KNBR was going, you know, they got to talk Justin Jefferson. And I said, hey, you know, they really got to be talking about the next Justin Jefferson. They got to go find Ted Hurst or somebody like that from Georgia State. And he's like, no, we need to be talking about Justin Jefferson. And I get it from a total fanboy perspective. All if you can't talk the draft, then you would push back on it. And anybody, you know, the Kawakamis of the world, anybody who's calling for one great player is no longer really thinking at all about the 49ers. They're just thinking about themselves, and they're thinking about what they want to talk about and how it's going to sound and what kind of ratings they're going to get, what kind of clicks they're going to get, all that kind of thing. But I don't really care about any of that shit. I just care about the 49ers winning and what's going to get them there. And so that's really the question of the morning, and we titled the stream today, do the 49ers need a big acquisition in 2026? Immediately, Damon, we're no more than, you know, 72 hours into our offseason, and immediately it's like, they're going to trade for the best receiver in football. They're going to trade for one of the best edge rushers in football. Not just guys either, by the way, guys that are like awesome and in their prime. Oh, well, you think, well, the 49ers must have, you know, stumbled into some treasure chest of picks, and it really hasn't happened. They pick like at the end of the first round. Any one of these trades would take all of their assets, and they have a ton of needs. So I don't see it that way. Those don't seem viable to me.
I think this offseason, it requires the 49ers to spend aggressively. I think they need to splash more cash around the offseason table than they were willing to do last season. But I am in total agreement with you that it cannot be about one big situation or a big-time player. They need several holes. Several holes have to be filled. NFL free agency starts in 46 days. That's when the tampering period begins. And why they have any delineation between legal tampering and the start of free agency, 72 hours. Like, who are we kidding? Like, I mean, we actually care about the paperwork. Like, we care about the league date, start year. None of that matters to anyone who is really talking about this. We all know that deals are struck before the legal tampering even begins, for good sakes. So, you know, let's not joke around with any of that. The draft is in 91 days. We're basically 3 months away from that. So there's going to be an awful lot of time to talk about the depth of this draft, where they need to strike in this draft. Let me just say this, though, about John Dickinson, who I do love, good friend.
I mean, I love him too. I'm not banging on John. I mean, I'm just saying this. I'm just using him as an example of the number of people that are out there saying, go get the, this is kind of like the Warrior discussion. You know, it's like, go for LeBron. No, don't go for LeBron. And it's like, what are we talking about here? What are you talking about? A show? Are you talking about winning? Because if you're winning, like the Warriors have the same issue. They can't win going, doing what they're doing, but they're going to do it anyway. Instead, they'd rather try to add one more, you know, dinosaur to their collection of dinosaurs than to attempt to rebuild because, oh, that's so scary. The unknowns, but in reality, they're never going to win again. And neither are the Niners if they keep going for this, you know, we're one player away when in reality, you're 12 players away.
Right. There are many players away. And when we say away, we don't mean away, away from being relevant again. They were just relevant as hell. And the way that they were relevant as hell deserves our accolades, deserves a little tip of the cap from everybody. Anyone trying to argue that the Niners didn't just have a very good football season is detached from football realities. They won a playoff game on the road with a MASH unit. They eliminated the defending Super Bowl champs. And then they ran into a team that I think might be good enough to actually win this year's Super Bowl. Let's see what happens between the Seahawks and the Rams this weekend. But like I said, you know, I think John Dickinson has a little bit of a point about wide receiver. And I'm not saying that Justin Jefferson is the target or trade for Jamar Chase or anything like that. But I am all done watching this team draft offensive skill position players that it finds ways to not use. Basically, I've done this, and this is a very, you know, tertiary evaluation of what has happened here. But basically, if we can really look throughout the entirety of the Shanahan John Lynch era, which is reaching a decade, next season will be their 10th year together. In 10 years, this team has basically added three offensive weapons via the draft, and none of them will be playing for the 49ers next season. They nailed Deebo Samuel. They hit on Brandon Ayuk, and they hit on George Kittle. None of those guys are going to be in 49ers uniforms next season. So I am all done watching the 49ers draft players they do not use, and they do not use the skill players that they draft almost across the board. Everyone they draft is either Danny Gray or Isaac Garendo, and I'm tired of seeing it, and I think it's a major weakness. This offseason, to me, starts in free agency, adding the two best wide receivers that fit this system. Not aren't the best wide receiver available. To me, Larry, this whole offseason starts with a pursuit of Alec Pierce or Wendale Robinson. Maybe Jacoby Myers. Maybe we can talk Romeo Doubs. Juwan Jennings can't be an overpay. I think this team needs to add vetted, played in the league, know how to do it, wide receivers that can be put in this system. And look, we just watched the 49ers have a really good year passing with basically nobody's out there. I want skill position players added via free agency. And then I want the other holes, O-line, D-line, linebacker, to be added via the draft. There are a couple linebackers out there. As old as they are, I would also be interested in. And if you want to get crazy and talk about Trey Hendrickson, the best edge on the market, we can do that. But I think this team needs to admit what they're good at and what they're bad at. They're awful at drafting skill position players that they then turn around and use. So I would be looking at what I think is the best deep threat on the market in Alec Pierce. And that's what the Niners desperately need. That's
once again, we're shopping off the top shelf in free agency. It's, you know, it's anybody can say that. I mean, anybody can say
it is not a sexy free agency class, pretty much all around.
That's the best guy. He's the best guy. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's only one best guy. You know, last year, the best center was Drew Dahlman. And it's like, it's easy to say, go get the best guy off the top shelf. What I'm saying is you're not there. You're not there. I'm not saying that you can't go get a veteran wide receiver, but I'm just saying lower your sights. You know, it's like you're probably not going to get the best guy. So then
So Wendale Robinson, let's talk Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. I mean, Wendale is not bad. I like Wendale. I mean, this is what I said. I said the other day, go get Wandale Robinson, go get Romeo Doubs, go get Alec Pierce. But, I mean, it's Alec Pierce literally is the best guy there's going to be. But then there's others that are like, hey, go trade for Justin Jefferson. Go trade for A.J. Brown.
Go get Kyle Pitts. That's the best tight end available. You know, I mean, you're shopping off the top shelf, too, there.
Yeah, well, not necessarily, though. I'm saying, though, at least I'm admitting that I can't do everything else after that. You can't do everything else after that. So you gotta decide. You can either have the one of one. You know, it's like that exercise where you can have one guy who's a one. You can have two guys. You know, you can have three guys that are fours. And, you know, you've seen those exercises where you can pick one. You're all of these guys are the one. So if you want the one, you can have one one. And then after that, you got to go. I mean, I'm just saying that's the kind of player they need. I'm not saying that that's the kind of player they can afford or they should get. They need to go find these players and create these players in the draft, you know, because the reality is you have five or six picks and you maybe could move Mac Jones and get a couple more. Maybe you can get a player involved in the Mac Jones trade. But the top level shopping, it's like, go get, you know, Trey Hendrickson. Okay. But that's all you'll do. Go get Kyle Pitts. That's all you'll do. Go get, you know, Alec Pierce. That's all you'll do. You're only going to get one bite at the top. Here is a quote from, we'll share the screen. This is a Guy Haberman who had Nick Wagner on, and Wagner is singing the song too. Let's hear this.
God, there's so many ways to go. Like, I did think in that game, and I know you saw the PFF data, it was in terms of like the longest Purdy's ever held the ball. I thought in person that game was a great example of where things can really go sideways for a quarterback. He had to make decisions, even though the time to throw was long, it makes it look like he didn't have to make quick decisions.
Right.
I thought one of his great skills that was on display is just a rare skill, which is the ability to not get sped up mentally. I thought
Someone said yesterday that Juwan Jennings, they'd like to bring him back, and I'm sure they would to some extent. That's obviously going to be price dependent. I think there's a number that they would be comfortable with, but Juwan Jennings didn't sound like someone in the locker room who's expecting to be back. He was pretty emotional talking about it the other day. So if he leaves, you definitely have to get, at least two, maybe a third, because you don't.
So that's kind of what I wanted to get to right there is that, you know, he's talking to AJ Brown and whatnot, but they're going to need multiples. I mean, if you look at their wide receiver core, they don't really have anybody. Jennings, as he said, was kind of emotional. It almost it reeked of I'm out of here. So if he's out of there, and then people close to the team have told me that Ricky Pearsall is probably going to be traded. I don't know if that's accurate or if that's their interpretation.
Well, and
but if you trade Ricky and you don't sign JJ, you officially have DeMarcus Robinson, Jacob Cowing, and Jordan Watkins at receiver. So they're beyond naked, and they're going to need three wide receivers. So, I mean, it's just, you know, that right there just kind of speaks to why they can't go top shelf on any of these guys, because they need 12 players here, and they have five picks or six picks. So they're going to have to get creative, man. They're going to get really creative.
Let's talk a little bit about the curious case of Ricky Pearsall, because, you know, here's a guy who has managed only 20 games over his two seasons due to what has become his career-defining trait, injured too often, unfortunately. 2025 saw him get into 9 games, 36 catches, 528 yards, no touchdowns. He did average nearly 15 yards a catch, though, so we'll put that feather in his cap. Look, he's got talent. He's on a rookie deal. He'll be only 26 years old in September of next year. Based on the investment and the need at the position and the fact he's on a rookie deal, Larry, I don't think they can afford to trade him. I think they have to come back with Ricky Pearsall, even if we would kind of like to trade him or see what we could get thing is out there. I don't think there's enough value coming back. I'm sticking with Ricky Pearsall. And, you know, when you need 3 to 4 wide receivers, cutting the youngest and seemingly most talented wide receiver on your team feels like a bad idea to me, or trading him, not cutting him, obviously. It'd be another reason I'd argue this team, you know, can't really draft offensive weapons if they don't see the value in keeping Ricky Pearsall around. It's not been a perfect fit. It's been frustrating, but I would give him year 3 in the uniform. And I don't think they've got much of an option. I really don't.
Well, I mean, it really depends. You know, we don't know what's out there. We don't know what his market is as far as, you know, there are other receivers.
One, right. It there's can't other, be a robust one.
There's other receivers out there that also are in his exact same spot where they're talented. They were high draft picks and they're just kind of not doing a whole lot. All I would say is, you know, it's not that it's, oh my God, you got to give him away. But, change of scenery would probably be good for a couple guys. Brian Thomas Jr. I think would be a great guy to flip him for. Why? Because I just think he's a better fit and I think he's more likely to stay healthy. And I think Ricky would be a better fit in Jacksonville, which is 20 miles away from where he went to college. And so we'll see. I mean, it's not my story, but I had somebody come up to me who's in the know around the Niners and said to me after the playoffs in the stadium, hey, you've seen the last of Ricky Pearsall and Renardo Green with the Niners. They're going to trade those guys. So we shall see. I mean, I will say this about the Niners. Every single year, without fail, they create a new need. Even though they have a bevy of needs, they'll create a new need that is unbeknownst to the rest of us. You know, a couple years ago, it was kicker. It was like, we need a kicker. Really? Okay. The rest of us thought Robbie Gould was coming back, you know? So it was like, what? Now you need a kicker? And it's like, all of a sudden that became a primary need. One year it was like, we need a punter. We need a safety. We need a this, we need a that. And sometimes it's like what we're talking about, but sometimes it's totally on the other side of the room, other side of the needs, and we don't anticipate it. So I would not put it beyond the Niners to, you know, have their own thoughts on their players and their own kind of, you know, ideology about what they want to do. And some of the things that we view as needs, they probably don't. And some of the things that they view as needs, we probably don't. And my guess is Ricky's going to be one of those guys that, and Renardo too, that the fans look at him and go, hey, you know, give these guys another year, another draft, you know, a draft pick. Renardo was a second. Ricky was a first. You know, have they done some good things? Yeah. They've done some bad things. Yeah. Let's give them another year. And I'm okay with that either way, but I get the feeling, at least from the guy that I talked to is in the know. And he said, those guys are probably going to get traded this offseason. So we'll see. We'll see.
Again, that's a big wait and see, you know, yeah. Another position that obviously will be better instantly week one, because the King's coming back into the room and Fred Warner is linebacker. And Larry, I know that there are some really interesting linebacker names coming out of college this year, and I know you're going to be all over it, and we will be. But as I look around, just free agent linebackers, again, let's get free agency starts before the draft. So call me Old Man River if you want. DeMario Davis, Bobby Wagner. You want to go a little bit younger? If you know you're going to shoot some more linebacker blitzes, I think Kandon Ellis out of Atlanta is a name that I would take a look at. All of these guys are good against the run and the pass. Bobby Wagner, forever young. He still plays at an elite level. He's almost 73 years old, and he's out there playing great football. DeMario Davis, again, remains really good, balanced against the run and the pass in the way that, you know, we just saw the 49ers play defense, and I don't think if Gus Bradley is indeed going to be the next defensive coordinator, it's going to change that much.
Well, I really don't agree with these, because the Niners need speed, which is not generally tied to 38-year-old players or 37-year-old players. And that's what those two guys
don't
are.
You want some,
they're
don't
great
you
players.
Want some,
they
don't
you were want some, great some, players.
Yeah, but don't you want some experience there? It can't just be Fred Warner and a bunch of young guys.
I want speed. Like, okay, first of all, I don't love the linebacking position. But, I mean, Devin Lloyd, 27 years old, you know, I mean, made $3.2 million this year, as opposed to DeMario Davis, who is 37 and made $8.6 and is used to making that kind of.
Well, he's going to be coming down in cash. I mean, obviously, the price needs to be right to get any of these deals done.
But I'm just saying, go for the younger free agents. Like, look at the list there. Devin Lloyd, a younger player. Devin Bush for Cleveland, I think, had a pretty good year. He's a younger player, 27. They just need to, and I don't even know that they're going to find their guy here. I'm looking at this list. It's a rough list.
I mean, it is.
Christian Harris maybe is interesting. with the Houston Texans. He kind of fell out of favor. He's only 25 years of age. I think he kind of makes sense. And then there's a bunch of Niner guys that they're probably going to say goodbye to, right? Gifford and Curtis Robinson and these guys, all these special teams linebackers the Niners had. So I'd look at all these. I mean, to me, I would look further down that list. Like Malcolm Rodriguez, who played for the Lions, who's 26, and he's healthy and he can run. Drake Thomas for Seattle, you know, is 25. Look how well he runs. I mean, he's probably a 4 or 5 guy. You know, he's a free agent. So, you know, I think the linebacker has to be completely rebuilt. But here's the question. The guy that you have is the green dot guy that you have, Fred. And the guys that you're suggesting are 35-year-old, 38-year-old guys who wear the green dot. So they would be taking Fred's spot, and you'd have to play Fred at weak side. I don't think they would do that. I think they're going to look for Fred to come back and then maybe Bethune to be his backup inside. And I think they'll maybe look for, you know, maybe a free agent, maybe a draft pick. But I think they're going to look for somebody younger, faster, and who could play the weak side.
Again, I think younger, faster equals more dollars on the free agent market. You're looking for 1 year, you know, give me one last good season, get out of this contract type of players when you're talking about the Wagners and the DeMario Davises out there. And I don't think the 49ers are looking at next year as a development year. I mean,
they need to rebuild.
Window? Is this a second window? Are they in a Super Bowl window? Is that where they are right now?
No,
what are we doing?
No.
What is the plan?
Is next year the first year
of a 3-year plan, or is it year number 2 of the new 3-year plan?
They're not in a Super Bowl window because of how many needs they have. They just got their doors blown off. They just played the best team in football, I think, in Seattle. In 2 games against Seattle, they only even got to the red zone 1 time in 2 games. They were thoroughly dominated. If their reaction to that is, we just are a little bit away, a little tinker here and there, they are fucking delusional.
They are going to wind up
out of the playoffs. So they have to build. You know, it's like I was looking at these guys, Lynch and Shanahan, on the stage, and I was like, you know what? You need to build, and you need to coach. You don't need to be part of the build, Kyle. You just need to coach. Just coach. And John, just build. Just build, 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 and just coach, coach, coach. That's it. Everything else is like, I don't want to hear about Shanahan's favorite players in the draft. I don't want to see him at the combine. They traded up for his favorite players a bunch of times. It's always crapped out. He had one good view of George Kittle. He's traded up for CJ Beathard, Dante Pettis, Jalen Hurd, all kinds of donkeys that cannot play. Eliminate Kyle from the personnel equation. And John has better hit, and he's better build. And if anything, they should take their late first-round pick, and instead of giving it away for one guy, they should probably trade it back, see if they can get a few more picks, a few more bites of the apple, and start building this football team. Because if you really look closely at this football team, what they need is they need a pass-rushing interior tackle. They need another dynamic pass rusher opposite Bosa. That's minimum up front. They probably could also use a couple backup defensive linemen, but that's their defensive line. They need a really good linebacker. They probably could use one more safety, and they need a number one corner. Those are just the needs on D. And then when you looked on offense, they're so bad.
Right. They need offensive wide receivers. They need a tight end. They need a center. They need a guard. They need a tackle of the future.
I mean, they need starting left guard because Burford's going to walk, and they need to replace Brendel. Because obviously he's not good. And then, so you've got those two guys up front that absolutely have to be replaced, but do you have a running back of the future? Do you have a wide receiver of the future? Who's your tight end? I mean, they have so many needs. They got by this year with, you know, you just gotta, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of Kansas City from last year. Kansas City from last year went like 9-1 in one score games. This year they went 0-11. In one score games. So when your personnel is starting to erode, you can either ignore it like Kansas City did and then just look up the next year and be like, oh, shit, we're getting our, you know, what's handed to us. Or you can kind of get real and, you know, go find a bunch of young players that you like and roll the dice. But they don't. The problem is all of the great players on this team, sans Upton Stout, are the old guys. They don't have a great young guy. And that's what they have to find. Great, you know, young players.
I was thinking about this too, because, you know, the announcement that at least the 49ers said, we expect to have Mac back. Mac Jones is going to be returning, which, by the way, is the right. I think it's the right thing. It's also certainly the right message to get out there, because you just up the asking price on Mac Jones by saying, yeah, we're not coming off him. But I honestly, I don't know if they should. Now, you're right, Larry. They need to add more draft picks because they have so many gosh darn needs. And maybe he does return a decent, hopefully a couple draft picks if you really were to put him out there. But I'd be very careful doing that, man, because look, you know, insurance feels like a waste of money right until your house burns down. The 49ers' house burnt down, and not only was Mac Jones the insurance, he was the fire department that put out the fire and saved the whole gosh damn darn house in the middle of the season. And if you really look around the 49ers, there is not one position where they have the best in the NFL. Trent is no longer left tackle one in the NFL. None of their offensive linemen beyond Trent would even make any list. Nick Bosa is off that list. Fred Warner coming off an injury. He still could flirt with being the best linebacker in football. I'll give Fred that. Christian McCaffrey is going in the wrong direction at this point in time in his career, even though he just had a spectacular season. We'll talk about the awards he's up for in just a little bit. The only position that the 49ers have the best in the NFL is backup quarterback. I would be very careful coming off having the best backup quarterback in football, given this team's constant flirtation with injuries everywhere. I really would, man. I understand you want to use him to acquire more options to build out your roster, but God forbid, I mean, is Curtis Rourke going to be that ready? Is he ready to be QB2 on this team? And by the way, you say it's not a contending year. In the middle of the year, if the 49ers start well, that you're going to change your tune on that real quickly.
No, I didn't say it's not a contending year. I said that this is not a year to run it back. This is a year to build.
Yeah.
Well, keep building. Don't go after 37-year-old guys in the final year. Build. Here's another one. NFL rumor says the 49ers are reportedly open to a reunion with Debo Samuel. It's like, no, dude.
That's feels
not
like a mistake.
What they need. They don't need more big ego has-beens. You know, you put on an NFL uniform. You know, people know the front, and then they learn your name on the back. And then by the time you get to the end of your career, all you got is that name on the back. You don't even represent who you are and used to be, you know, because pretty soon it's like, you know, the talent goes away. It's a young man's game.
But I'll tell you what, Bobby Wagner had a better year at linebacker than Debo Samuel had at wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that Bobby Wagner's totally done. What I'm saying is he's not the right guy for the Niners, because the Niners have Fred. You're not going to tell Fred Warner to play the weak side. Hey, Fred, you know, you're the middle linebacker, and you have been, and you're our leader. Now move aside.
No, Bobby.
We're going to put Bobby Wagner in there.
The new guy doesn't come in and be like, oh, no, this is my team now. No,
Bobby Wagner can't play anything else. Bobby Wagner's not going to play anything else except for Mike Linebacker. And he's even at Mike Linebacker, he's kind of slow for Mike Linebacker. So, I mean, it's a great name. And if Fred retired and you had a Super Bowl ready team, yeah, those two guys would be awesome names. DeMario Davis, you know, if the Niners were super loaded and Fred was just like, I'm calling it quits, and they were just one linebacker away, I'd say, absolutely, go get those guys. Get them in here. Plug them in, see if you can win another ring. But that's not where they're at. They need to kind of build up the speed of that second level. Look at Seattle's second level speed. Look at their ability to close that space. The Niners don't have that ability, and they got run on to death, to absolute death. So they need big-time talent at linebacker, and they need their future great. what they got to find is somehow, I don't know how they did it. I don't know if Lynch did it or if it was somebody else, but they put together great players in trade with CMC and Trent, but in draft with Bosa and Warner, Demo. They got to go find their next great players, or this thing is going to look a whole lot different in the years ahead. Because you know the way football works, it's like now. The careers are gone before they start. You can't think about old guys. You always got to think about the younger guys. So we shall see what they're going to do. But they better hit in this draft, because right now John Schneider for Seattle is the Pro Football Writers Association of America Executive of the Year for a reason. And he is drafting post Pete Carroll at a really high level, and he's left the 49ers in his wake, and they're missing, or they're, you know, step back this year, if you want to call it that, because they're clearly a step behind those teams. This hasn't happened in a minute. This has happened over the last four drafts, and the 49ers in the last, since 2022, the only great players that they've really acquired in the draft are Brock Purdy and Upton Stout. And the Rams have 10 guys like this, and the Seahawks have 15 guys like this. So that's where they've fallen behind. Then they're going to have to, there's no shortcuts. They're going to have to, you know, go out there and find players like everybody else. And, you know,
it's not like
the Yankees or the Dodgers, where you just buy up everybody. It's, you know, it's a cap sport, and it's going to be a challenge.
Let's just say welcome everyone to Wake Up. It is great to have you here. Like and subscribe to both the channels. We're going to be with you all NFL off season. As a matter of fact, one might even argue that's when Wake Up flourishes. So make sure you stick around for everything we're doing. Thanks so much to Ike's. And right now, if you order $250 worth of catering from Ike's, use promo code SAVE49. Save 49 to get $49 off. This is the perfect thing to do for championship weekend, for NFL Super Bowl Sunday. This is a great thing to do for your office. And right now through the Super Bowl, through February 8th, use code SAVE49 when you're over at Ike's. And thanks so much to the Dubliner. As always, Larry, I know you got some sponsors to thank before we move along.
Yeah, well, you know, thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Really appreciate them. I mean, Damon and Mary and all the good people at Pig in a Pickle have been fantastic. Thanks to them for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to Claw Daddy Arcades for sending us to Philadelphia. He's a great follow on Instagram at @Claw_Daddy_Arcades. Damon and I are both brought to you by Sleeper, which is why you see it above Damon's head there. 49er football season presented by Sleeper, fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. One-stop shop, you get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper Picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry on my side, and Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description, terms and conditions do apply. And I just wanted to say a couple people have reached out to me. The Krug Show is taking it on the road for baseball spring training. You know, that's right during the NFL owners meetings and right during the kind of buildup last year when we were down in spring training. We wound up doing nothing but live streams about Ayuk and Debo and where they were going. So we'll probably talk a lot of football.
Well, if you want to talk Giants baseball during spring training, you're going to put yourself to sleep. Jesus.
Well, you know, yeah. You know, it's going to be a great trip, though. We're going to spring training to Scottsdale in the middle of March. Myself, Kev, the boys. We're going to play some golf. We're going to watch some Cactus League. We're going to talk some football in the evenings, and we're going to have a good time. And we're looking for a couple sponsors to help us get there. And a couple people have already reached out. So if you'd like to sponsor our trip to spring training, just DM me or get a hold of me somehow, and we'll figure it out. And we appreciate all you guys in advance.
Or just one person, just drop like some fat $3,000 super chat right here and now, and that'll be done.
Exactly. If we have, though, I think that might be over the, there might be a limit on the super chats, but what if,
limit, let's find out today, Larry. Let's find out.
I've gotten a $500 super chat once. Nice. So that was the biggest super chat ever. But yeah, anybody who, you know, maybe you have a business. I mean, the channel gets between 2 to 5 million views a month, 2 to 3 million on YouTube, 2 to 5 million on all of our other social media platforms. So gets lots and lots of views. If you have an event, a company, or something that you would like to promote and us to promote during our, and you would like to be the title sponsor of our trip to spring training,
reach out to me
and we shall make it happen.
I know you like aggressive chatters and asks. This is from Chris, Mr. Niner. Larry, how about you sponsor my trip to Arizona?
There you go. Are you going to produce content? That's the question. But we will. Some people have already reached out. So, Krug, I thought you're rolling. Well, the channel is doing very well, but this is very, very costly to go to Arizona. So, and I do want to do it. And we will be doing it either way, but we are looking for a sponsor. And if you want to get some mentions for your company, we will get a bunch of mentions and lots of views during our trip. Feel free to contact me, DM me or whatever, and we will talk it out. We will make it happen. All right, there you go.
Speaking of let's talk it out, let's make it happen. And I'm surprised to see any internet hand-wringing or content creator hand-wringing or trying to say like, oh, the last time you just promoted from within house, you got Nick Sorensen. Let me just say that Gus Bradley and Nick Sorensen are not the same guy, not even close. Gus Bradley being a football lifer, 16 years of NFL experience. He's got head coaching experience. You cannot dismiss the Legion of Boom, nor can you dismiss that the only unit that really flexed at all defensively for the 49ers this year was their secondary. I mean, they were terrible up front. Linebackers were decimated. And I know that they got carved up and they didn't have many turnovers back there. But I thought the 49ers secondary basically carried the bend don't break load of this defense. Gus Bradley, I'm not sure why there's any stress at all about him being promoted in-house to this team's defensive coordinator, if that indeed is what happens. I think that should happen. I know that there's some, well, Jim Schwartz is maybe they're going to talk to a couple of, wouldn't you just go with Gus Bradley and not really worry about that, Larry?
Well, I mean, first of all, insecure people always think that somebody on the outside's better than somebody on the inside. Like if you don't have a high opinion of, you know, we've all worked for this person, by the way, you know, we've all had that. We've worked for a company probably where I've been working for this company, you know, blood, sweat, and tears for 5 years. And yet, you know, they're, whining and dining Joyce to run my department over me. And, you know, because she ran this department at some other place and, you know, she doesn't know our culture. She doesn't know our business. She's put in no time. She's not invested. But she's a better candidate than the internal candidates. So there are people that always see the people on the outside. I worked for a guy. We both worked for a guy. I won't name him, but he's in our media industry. And he was one of those guys that he had such insecurity about who he was that anybody that worked for him was not as good as somebody who worked for somebody else. So it was always like, hey, we're going to bring in this guy. We're going to bring in this girl. And it's like, hey, what about us over here? We're kicking ass for you. There's that, right? And then there's people on the other end of the spectrum who the people sitting in the room are always better than the people on the outside. And in reality, come on, right? It's a case by case basis. So I just look at Gus Bradley. This was the plan, right? This was the plan last year. They knew that they didn't have very good continuity at defensive coordinator. They knew they were going for Robert Saleh, who was very likely to be one and done and is a one and done. And so they brought in Gus Bradley for this reason, so that there wouldn't be that lack of continuity. And I think Gus Bradley's a great candidate. And all I can tell you is people that don't like him, Damon, are citing passer rating from his time with the Chargers, Colts, and Raiders. People like myself who do like Gus Bradley and think he would be a good hire are referring to what he did this year, where the 49ers defensively were 24th DVOA, but in the red zone, which was his, that was his neighborhood. That was what they gave him to deal with. They went from 24th to 14th. So how, if Robert Saleh is a god, how come his defense was 24th? If Gus Bradley's a donkey, how come with Robert Saleh's 24th defense, they were 14th in the red zone, which was Gus's bailiwick. So, you know what I mean? The other thing I have that I can go to and point to beyond the stats is I've had a chance to go in and talk to Gus Bradley, talk to Jair Brown, talk to Demo Lenore, talk to Malik Mustafa. To a man, they have said, man, Gus Bradley is like, he's an OG. He taught me an awful lot about my position. He opened my eyes to this level of thinking. And you could tell that, and you stated, you know, some of the positives in the secondary. I think Gus has a lot to do with that. So I'm okay with Gus, and yet I know people that are like, hey, he's going to be one and done, and they need to go for Raheem Morris. But you know what? Raheem Morris has been fired an awful lot. That bothers me that he's been around the block a bunch recently. And then the other name is Schwartz, and I think Schwartz might be the best name, to be completely honest. But is there a relationship there with Kyle? Is there a trust? Is there continuity? From what I've been told, his wide nine is quite a bit different than the Niners version of the wide nine. So there would be some changes.
Maybe it's time to switch up a version. Wide nine 2.0 sounds pretty good, because we just saw wide nine not do a damn thing for an entire football season. Obviously, there were some big injuries along the way, but you know, it's time
to wallow. I mean, yeah. was it Saleh or was it Wallow? You know what I mean? Did the Niners gashed at the end there by Seattle? Was it Saleh or was it Wallow? I mean, I would say it was probably Kendricks and Wallow and no pass rush. And the Niners, I mean, the numbers are there for anybody to see right now. The 49ers are absolutely bottom of the barrel. Their top priority should be pass rush, you could argue. They had 20 sacks last in the NFL. They had a 24.7 pressure rate, one of the worst in the NFL. In pass rush win rate, which is kind of the stat, Damon, that I really do believe the most in, they were 29th out of 32 teams. So it's really more about, it's not about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes, as they say. And I don't want to put this all at the feet of John Lynch, but it's all at the feet of the personnel side of the thing. Chris Kocurek's a great coach. He can't turn water into wine. Johnny Holland's a good coach. He can't make Garrett Wallow Dre Greenlaw in his prime, you know? So they're just going to have to, they're going to have to get real about their needs on defense. And I love the idea of Max Crosby, because it would give them an unbelievable edge rush combo. But that's all you'd have. And I you still are going to need linebackers. When was the last time the Niners truly had a great corner? I mean, a corner that you could say, I mean, let's look at this honestly, Damon. I know there's lots of ways to build a football team, and you want to build it with your philosophy, but you also have to keep one eye on your division. And guess what? In this division, you have Puka Nacua, Marvin Harrison Jr., and JSN. So you've got receivers that are big time. And if you don't have a number one corner, I don't know. I think matching up with those big time receivers top of the list.
Look, I think the Niners have one of the better corners in Diamador Lenore and a really up and coming Upton Stout. I like them very much. I think Renardo Green is, he got pinned down by a bad season of being picked on.
I don't think he fits, because I mean, he played well, Damon. He only allowed a 50% completion percentage. He only allowed one touchdown.
Well, then how does that not fit? Like, dude, I just don't understand that.
He got benched twice this year by Shanahan, and from what I was told by the people that said that he was going to be traded, was that he doesn't fit in the locker room. That he's not like one of the guys, that he's for whatever reason, they have a hard time communicating with him, and that he's just not a fit, and that they're going to move on.
Mercurial Renardo Green is what you're telling me?
He was 11th in the NFL in pass breakups, but they also benched him twice this year, and we saw Shanahan yelling at him. I don't know. To me, yes. Is he quiet at his own? Is he at his own locker a lot? Yeah. Is he quiet? Yeah. I don't know if that's a problem or if that's brooding, but the person that said that he was going to be traded said, yeah, he's not a good personality fit in the room.
Okay.
Again, take it for what it's worth. I don't know. I
think the Niners' quest for perfection needs to come to an end. And when they got really good, they better hold on to it. And I thought he was pretty darn good. I wouldn't be walking away from a guy, again, still on his rookie deal, still young. You can't tell me that we need youth, and then you're going to walk away from a good young player who'd be going into year three. I mean,
I agree with you. This is my frustration with the Niners, is they'll take a list of needs that's seven deep and make it nine deep. And that, you know what I mean? That's kind of, they've done it in the past. Hey, they have this need and that need and this need and that need. Oh, we need a kicker too. It's like, what? And we're going to take him in the third round. You know, so they're not doing the draft, you know, expertly at all. Otherwise, they would be the dominant team and not the Seahawks. The Seahawks, John Schneider has done his job better than John Lynch. That's the fact. And he's hit at a higher rate with better players more recently. He sees it cleaner. He doesn't make as many mistakes. He doesn't miss on his high picks. The Niners miss all the time on their high picks. So, you know, they're going to have to, I don't know what the solution is. If it's have another set of eyes or Lynch be better or whatever and promote somebody else from within. I don't know what the answer is, but they got to be better than they've been, or they're just going to fall further behind. As the years go on here, they're getting further and further away from, you know, they were right there in overtime in the Super Bowl. And then they've taken a step back, and now they took another step back, and we'll see, you know, what this offseason holds.
Niners sitting at 27th in the first round right now. For the sake of this conversation, they're not trading back. What do you think? And don't cop out and say best available. Don't. What's the position? What's the position you think they need to address with the first round pick at 27?
Okay. So this in a nutshell is part of the problem. It's not about a position. It's about getting a great player. And
what great player do you think will be available for them at 27?
It's a good question. I would say, the great players that I think are going to...
Am I suggesting they draft a failure at 27 just to fit a positional need, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as a great player, yeah. Who's a great player that's going to be there at the end of the first round? Well, the first great player is the linebacker from Georgia, C.J. Allen, who had 88 tackles this year, 3.5 sacks. You know, he's just the latest in a line of awesome Georgia five-star athletes at linebacker. C.J. Allen, he's a great player. He could play the weak side. He could be a Pro Bowler. He's really, really good. That's the first one that stands out. Anthony Hill.
Since you're talking defense, can I give you a name? Cassius Howell, Texas A&M, edge, guy at 11.5 sacks. He's a little undersized, which means that production might slip to you in the 20s.
Yeah. No, that's a great name. Only thing I would say about Cassius Howell is that, you know, the Niners typically like their defensive ends to be like 270. Mm-hmm. He's more like 245, and he's got kind of short arms. So no, he did have 11.5 sacks, and he was great this year. There's also a lot of talk that because he did have 11.5 sacks, that he's going to go in the top 20.
That's a guy whose combine will be huge.
Yeah. I mean, they picked 27, and absolutely. He'd be on that list. The other name for me, Anthony Hill, another linebacker from Texas, who's just a very safe player. He's a great second level player. Chris Johnson, a cornerback from San Diego State, I think is, you know, especially if Gus Bradley is their call at defensive coordinator. Gus likes big corners who are dominant and are strong against the run and pass. Chris Johnson is that. He's a 6'1" corner who's tough. So, I mean, those are the three guys that I would think. Chris Bell, maybe the wide receiver from Louisville. Jeremy Bernard, the wide receiver from Alabama.
Do you think D'Angelo
both really good
first round reach?
No. He can't go in the first round.
That's what I thought too. And
I love D'Angelo Pons, by the way. I just retweeted a video about him, or a breakdown on him. He is Upton Stout. You know, and I would take him in that same area where Upton Stout went. I think he's a 5'9", 170-pound corner. Now, yeah. There are teams that don't take anybody who's under 5'10", and there are teams that won't take anybody under 180. So there will be teams that take D'Angelo Pons off their board. If he were 6'2", he'd go in the top 10. He's that awesome of a player. I would say he's probably going to be a third round grade who somebody reaches on in round two. But like the Niners pick in round two at pick number 92. If he's there at 92, I absolutely would take him because he's one of the safest players in the entire draft because he's a plug and play starter. But Indiana's got several of these guys. Carter Smith might be a guy that the Niners want to take in round two and plug and play at offensive tackle. So
there's talk that he might come back. He might go back to school. Let me give you one more defensive name since we're talking about defensive draft options at the back of the first round. You know, another defensive tackle. Would they take another defensive tackle? Caden McDonald out of Ohio State, I think, would be a name that would be on their board. I'm not saying he's the right choice. I think it's time for this team to go offensive line. This team, I mean, you cannot wait for Trent to give you nothing before you address the secession plan of Trent Williams. Caden Proctor out of Alabama, he's probably gone at 27. Jennings Dunker. Out of Iowa, and I see right now ESPN in their mock actually has Caleb Lomu, the offensive lineman out of Utah, 6'6", 304-pound tackle. I don't think the 49ers can go wrong finally taking a premium offensive lineman and not trying to moneyball their way around. What I think is, you know, the team's got problems, man. But that
– Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they – huge. They're, you know, the guy for Miami – is spectacular. Francis Maui-Goa.
Oh yeah. He's probably top 15 pick.
Yeah. Maybe top 10, you know? So do they trade up for somebody like Maui-Goa, who's probably a right tackle? Some people think though, Maui-Goa might be a guard. You know, that's the other thing. They like speed, right? They like speed and movement. So even though Maui-Goa is a highly rated guy, some people saying he might be a guard, the Niners probably see him as a guard. So, I mean, my two favorite offensive linemen, offensive tackle prospects in this draft are late round guys. I love J.C. Davis from Illinois, who went to McClyman's High School in the East Bay and, you know, 6'5", 335, plays at Illinois, can play right tackle, left tackle. I think he's tough. And he's got good feet. And then Emil Wagner from Notre Dame, who needs to put on some weight, but he's 6'6", 300 pounds. These are day three. You know, these are fourth round, fifth round offensive tackles. They're not top round guys. But those are the two. Those are the guys that I think are the best value. I love those two players a lot. I also like Caleb Tiernan from Northwestern and Jennings Dunker. You mentioned him from Iowa. But, you know, I also want to take a look in this draft at the interior, you know, because the bottom line is Emmanuel Pregnon from Oregon is just an absolute monster. And Chase Besantis from A&M is also a monster. And you're talking about Keelan Rutledge from Georgia Tech is probably my favorite guard prospect. And he's probably a day two guy, maybe third round, fourth round. So, you know, they're going to have to invest some picks in the offensive line for sure in this draft. Absolutely. They have to get better, and they probably need a starter. They probably need a starter or two on the inside. And that's, you know, the biggest thing that I'm looking for in this offseason is Shanahan told us that he liked Brendel. And we know Furster likes Brendel. We know Purdy likes Brendel. But the Niners refuse to run on fourth and one and third and one because Brendel can't move anybody, and he's just getting dominated at the point by Leonard Williams Byron Murphy. Right. And I just don't think you can bring back 34-year-old Jake Brendel at 285 pounds let's do this. I think you got to go get a bigger-bodied guy who can move some people. I mean, Rutledge is 6'4", 330. Okay, I'd much rather take a chance on some guys who are – in that 3.25 range who can move somebody than Jake Brendel at age 34 at 285 pounds.
Look, I just saw you run fullback option on the fourth and got to have it play in the playoffs, for Christ's sake. So yeah, get better. And by the way, I'm sorry, it's got to be goodbye Kyle Juszczyk time, right? I mean, it's you can't be paying premium for a fullback who does almost nothing but catch a few passes for you. Anyway,
I mean, he had a really, I thought actually Juice had one of his best years.
He did.
So
he did.
I don't know what the answer is. Like, and there's so few guys who play this position.
It felt like he had one of his best years because they were just out of places to go with the ball. So okay, I agree. I guess we got to use him now. You know, I don't want the last available option in a fullback to then be a shining bright example of, oh, that worked out, I guess, after all. Anyway, look,
are there even fullbacks? I mean, I was looking at different draft lists this week. They don't even list fullback.
You're right. It's a dead position. It's a dead position.
There aren't any fullbacks. So it's like, you're just going to have to find some linebacker who, you know, can't play linebacker and make him a fullback.
Not that I don't think, I think all these guys are probably re-signing with their current teams. But if for some reason the Ravens say goodbye to Tyler Linderbaum or Connor McGovern of the Bills is available, Ethan Pochich of the Browns, invest in the center that you didn't invest in last year. Invest in the center that you didn't invest in last year, and then maybe you don't have the pressure of drafting an offensive lineman premium early in this upcoming draft, and you can spend that capital at other positions of need. So
they definitely need somebody.
If you don't mind me just wrapping up today's show before we hit into some supers here, Larry, because I got to go clock in. I got a sick Ozzy who I also see walking around here. He's not in the room yet, but he's threatening.
What's his illness?
Just a little, you know, he had a temperature yesterday. And when you have a temperature, you can't go back to preschool within 24 hours of being clear of it. So it's a Friday off for Ozzy. He looks like he's a little chipper. We might hit a little Muni. There's nothing that makes that four-year-old happier than riding Muni. That is his Xanadu. He loves Muni.
You're not talking about the Golden Gate Park nine-hole golf course Muni. You're talking about riding the bus.
We're talking about going to West Portal, going through the tunnel, maybe down to the ferry building today, Muni.
Okay, all right.
Kid loves it. It's award season. Kyle Shanahan, isn't life that simple? Don't you wish life was that simple? Just get me on Muni, man. Kyle Shanahan is the finalist for Coach of the Year, so all the Kyle is trash nonsense needs to just go out the door again. This team absolutely overshot where its own trajectory once the injuries started mounting. They won a playoff game. There is nothing about Shanahan that is trash as a coach. We can talk about drafting all you want. Christian McCaffrey is a three-time finalist for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year. Now,
which award are you going to give him?
Oh, he's Comeback Player of the Year, Larry, because the MVP is Stafford or May. The Offensive Player of the Year has to be Jackson Smith and Jigba up in Seattle.
I thought the MVP might be Josh Allen. You're going to go with Stafford over Josh Allen? I don't know. Josh Allen looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, look, Josh Allen's incredible, but he just got one. So, you know, they like to spread that shit around, you know?
I like Christian for the Offensive Player of the Year. I think he's better than JSN. I thought he was better than the other candidates.
He's already won one of those. So I think they're going to splash it around to maybe someone else. You know, Puka could maybe be your Offensive Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year feels like an absolutely attainable goal for this postseason award because of what he was last year. He did come back. He came back in a way that, if Christian McCaffrey had a better offensive line in front of him, the Offensive Player of the Year or the MVP might have been his. This guy basically ran through no levels of daylight to have a very good and productive season for the 49ers. I think Comeback Player of the Year is probably the needle that he falls on.
We'll see. I'll say this, 450 touches. You know, if you look at the numbers in his career, when he's had that kind of usage, he's missed, you know, 10 games the next year. So that's another area. You know, this is another concern for the 49ers. What do you have on offense next year? You need new offensive linemen. Christian's coming off a 450 touch season. You want to get rid of the Pro Bowl fullback. There are no receivers to speak of. Kittle is maybe not going to play until late in the year. The Niners offensively look horrible. on paper, they really need to.
I mean, Brian,
they need defense, but they need offense too. I mean, God.
Unless they actually retain and use Brian Robinson Jr., that was another total waste of a trade. The guy did nothing for the team this year, and they traded something for him.
Never used him. They never used him.
He's a good player that they never used. You know, we finally saw Jordan James. Looked pretty good, but, you know, dollar short and way too many days late to get to him or think that there's anything there.
Well, I mean, there could be something there, but, I mean, it's just like, dude, I mean, what took you so long? And then – And then the question is, what took him so long? And if all he can do is play a little bit in training camp and then get hurt and then play a little bit at the end of the year, do you even have any idea what he is or isn't? You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't like
the Jordan Watkins excuses either. You know, like, well, Jordan, he had the high ankle sprain, and then we just could not develop him at any point in time. We couldn't coach him up at any moment in the season until it got too late in the season, and then we couldn't play him because we had other guys that we trusted more. Like, this is what Willie Snead, I think, was talking about when he says Kyle's got his favorites.
You know, they played their hand so wrong there. It's like, you went for Kendrick Bourne. Why? Because he had a relationship with Mac, and then he had a couple of good games, but then JJ gave him the stank eye, and they just kind of banished him to the back of the bench. And it's like, come on, man. Find a complimentary receiver that creates space. I've never in my life, and I watch the All 22 almost every week, at least on to some level, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I've never, that I've been covering the Niners, ever seen their wide receivers glued to defenders like I saw in that Seattle game. There was no, anybody who's ripping Brock Purdy, shame on you, because you have no idea what you're talking about. There was no room at all. I mean, literally, guys, Damon just wired to each other all over the film. Seattle's corners so dominated the Niner receivers. Seattle's DBs so dominated, so covered, thoroughly blanketed the Niner receivers that nobody was open. They have to create.
Go get Alec Pierce, man. Go get Alec Pierce. I know he's a big guy. Go get Alec Pierce. You could really use him. You know what that Habis law means there, Larry? We got to get into our supers, and I do got to get going here.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Supers. Thanks to Habis Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Thanks to Omar and Tarek Habis and all the people at the Habis Law team for being proud sponsors of the Krug Show. Oh, by the way, Damon, I'm at the gym yesterday, and Ernberg comes up to me at the gym. Joseph Ernberg. And he said that he's met you once. I don't know. Did you ever meet Ernberg? I thought he said he met Damon, too.
If I did, it was a really long time ago.
He's a young guy. You know, I think of Joseph Ernberg. I don't know. Just to me, it sounds like a 60 or 8-year-old guy.
Yes. I would have not have pegged him for a young guy either.
He's like 25, and he's at the gym. He's like, Krug, is that you? Are you Larry Kruger? I'm like, yeah, that's me. He's like, it's Joseph Ernberg. We embraced in the middle of the gym.
Wow.
It was crazy. Anyway, the great Ernberg. All right, Jake Lemire says, consider a Bosa trade? Need healthy players in youth. Oh, my God. I would not consider a Bosa trade, but you know what? I mean, I guess I would consider it. I mean, I'd listen to any offer, that's for sure. But I would want a pretty good player for Nick Bosa. Maybe even a great player. Or a great pick. Did you turn your mic off? Travis Stewart says, F you, Krug. Have a great show. Wake the F up. Thank you. Ann Garibay says, 49ers are looking at two hated rivals in the NFC title game. They need to be the most aggressive team in free agency. Pierce, Pitts, Addison, Dobbs, Wandale. They need speed. Who are not rookies? Yeah, they definitely need a lot. They definitely need a lot. Thomas Selman, I'd love signing Pierce from the Colts or trading for Jordan Addison. They are younger than Jefferson. Also, only trading Mac for a high pick. I would agree with that. Grant Jones came up with Addison.
Yeah, Addison gets arrested like every 5 minutes, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know, but I will say this. He is the kind of receiver that is slithery and does create a lot of separation. That would be nice. And I think because of his off-field transgressions, you might be able to get Jordan Addison for a very, very attractive price if you're willing to go down that road. Dr. Rockman says, keep in mind the music is coming to an end for Jed and Kyle. They have to spend big money on offensive skill players so they can be used this year.
It can't be a year of austerity for this front office. They need to spend. They need to spend. They need to get up to the cap again.
Here, I'll ask you the question that I asked Matt Barrows last night. If you're Jed, how much longer for Kyle and John? Kyle's one of the best coaches. John's a top-level general manager, even though he's a top half of the league general manager. Let's say he's not the top tier. But they're both, you know, accomplished. How many more years? And you give me year to year, and I'll tell you what Matt Barrows said if you hadn't heard it. You're saying three?
Three more years. Three more years, and then a title resets.
I think he said five.
Does 15 seem like years is a lot of.
I think I would go with yours over his. I think I would go with with three over five.
By Ben the way, says, Jillian is texting me. Here's the thing, Larry.
Just no comment here. Here we go. Ben Diesel says, attack free agency by signing a couple of receivers and a center, then prioritize the first draft pick with an offensive tackle. Fill the other needs with the best available players. Ben says they need to really bring in someone that is great at evaluating talent. Oh, and congratulations, Damon, on the Hoosiers championship.
Thank you. Well deserved. Thank you. You know, my favorite part of this is I don't have to explain to anyone how special that was. Oh, like the whole world. Like, you can't get anybody to agree on anything in sports, and everyone basically agrees. Like, yeah, that's one of the greatest stories I've ever seen. Holy shit. And so thank you.
I was so happy for Fernando that he scored the way he scored, too. Oh. What a tough play that was.
Dude.
Ernberg, 49ers need like three off seasons to be real contenders. Yeah, I agree. There you go. Ernberg, see you at the gym. Thomas Selman, I don't know if I even want JJ back. I want separation.
By the way, I think I banned Ernberg for not for life, but for a while. He was way out of pocket in our final live stream of the year.
That's awesome. Robbie, I block people. Kev unblocks. So if you ever get unblocked, it's not me, it's Kev. When I block for life. Robbie says, your opinion on what the Niners will do at left guard. I'm hoping that they invest in somebody like that kid Pregnon from Oregon. They need a big-time guy. Google Skynet. Kyle doesn't play rookies on offense unless they come in pro-ready, address offensive needs and free agency, and then have another defense-heavy draft. That probably is a solid plan, actually. John Wallace, Damon, is Pons going into the draft?
He's declaring he's going to the Senior Bowl, yes.
Congrats. Yes, he is. He's a great player. Carson Taylor, we need to completely torch our safety room. Not a single player can make a tackle. Who are some of your draft crushes? I like Jacob Rodriguez from Tech. Yeah, he is a great. What I love about Jacob Rodriguez is he punches the ball out. He's kind of like a Fred Warner. There's lots of draft crushes. But I kind of like the Indiana center, Pat Coogan, as a late-round steal. Joseph Ernberg, I say give Nick Sorensen a second chance. Ernberg, I know you're joking. Kidokea says, Krug and Damon, how do you feel about the Niners possibly trading up and trying to get Bain Jr.? By the way, love the show. Keep it up.
I mean, you'd eliminate your entire draft class if you did that.
The only way this gets done is if Arizona has no other quarterback and has to have Mac Jones and is just hell-bent. And then you'd have to give up Mac Jones, your number one pick, and probably another high pick to make that happen. You might want to consider Bane's second.
I did see that guy go one-man wrecking crew in that national title game in a way that was scary. He is unbelievably good.
Yeah, he's awesome. They say he's got short arms. Oh, wow.
I don't care whatever you think he's got short of. What he's not short of is football badass. He's got that in steady supply.
Dude, he's a pro bowler. Google Sky says Schwartz has owned Kyle for the most part, would be valuable for helping Kyle understand the flaws in his offense. He'd be a great hire. He would if they would get along, but I have a feeling they're going to go with Bradley. Ryan Aloy says, the truth is Kyle and John aren't good at drafting. Expecting them to draft elite players is blind faith. Get them in free agency trade and hope on draft picks. Okay? But, I mean, you better have a better plan than hope. Hope is not a plan, as Billy Bean said. What a tale my thoughts would tell. I still think the 49ers will make multiple major acquisitions in free agency and the draft, including trades. However, they do not necessarily need a singular blockbuster trade to improve. Too many needs. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. Thomas Selman, I like Winters and Warner together at linebacker. To me, Winters looks like too small and gets engulfed. Riz the Fizz. F you, Larry. What happened to Jacob Robinson? He's in that room. He's going to be there next summer. He's going to be heard from. He's a good young player. Carson Taylor, what should the free agent plan be? How much will Linderbaum go for? A lot. And if we draft a tackle in the first, they would just sit the whole year, maybe the next draft. Yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. When the tackle spot is probably going to be a late round thing this year, I have a feeling, because they do have their starters back. Riz the Fizz says super sticker. We're almost done. Toyota Mo says football really needs to create their version of the Cy Young Award for quarterbacks. Since 2000, the MVP given to a quarterback 20 times and 4 times to a running back. Yeah, it's a total quarterback award only. Look at that kid's hair.
You see Uncle Larry? Mm-hmm. Are you excited about Muni?
Hello. The Muni is excited? Calling.
You excited about Muni today?
Muni.
Everybody else is like, Muni. Stefan says, if Chris Bell falls in the second round because of the ACL, that's the guy. Brock likes big receivers, and Chris's upside is similar to DK. No, I do agree. I love Chris Bell.
We're going
to
go get something for Mama.
We are. It's Mom's birthday next week, so we're going to go get her a little something. We might have lunch together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that. Nice that kid's excited. Riz the Fizz. What was the signing process for signing D'Amico Ryans as defensive coordinator? Y'all are helping me get through a 4-hour econ class.
Oh my God. Well, this is so much better than econ. This is econ.
Yeah. Can I tell you my econ class that I dropped? The guy starts, he had such a thick accent. This is how the class started. Two people make contact in a binding. And I raised my hand. Excuse me? I didn't get that. Could you repeat that? And he's like, two people make contact in a binding. So I go, you know what? I got to drop this class. And I go up to have him sign the thing. I go, hey, I'm dropping your class. And he's like, why are you dropping? And I said, because I can't understand you. And it was even the first line, I didn't get that. Two people make contact in a binding. And I go, what are you saying? And he's like, and this girl comes up to me. She goes, he said two people enter into a contract and it's binding. And
I'm okay. Like, yeah.
I'm like, well, that's why I'm
trying to get out of that contract, because you didn't even understand that.
It's a hard concept to learn when you can't understand. Riz the Fizz, could Dom Pooney play center? He played it in college. Yeah, he could. He could. They could go Dom Pooney at center. So could McKivitz. Mike Bees, I think McVay is a huge fan of the show and uses it a lot during the offseason for draft advice. He's drafted guys you've mentioned before. Oh, great. That's all we need. That's right, Willie Lampkin. You got Willie Lampkin. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Habas Law. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to Pig.
Let's give Ozzy the final word today. What do you got, Ozzy? What do you want to tell everybody on the internet?
I hope the Hoosiers are winning.
The Hoosiers did win it all. They did. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Can you give us a go, Hoosiers?
Can you give us a go, Hoosiers, and go, Niners?
Go, Hoosiers. Go, Niners.